Today is the May 24th, 2015 meeting of Hope Bible Church. Steve Hogan's message is Friends and Family.
Great to see you all today, this Lord's Day, this Memorial Day weekend. It was 110 years ago on this day that my grandfather, Pete Hydoff, was born. That would have been May 24th, 1905. Of course, I like numbers and dates and things, but there's always significance to things like this. Testing. How are we? We all right? Okay. Anyway, 110 years ago, my grandfather, Pete Hydoff, was born. If he wasn't born, my mother wouldn't have been born. If she wouldn't have been born, I wouldn't be here. If I wasn't here, Marcia wouldn't be here. If Marcia wasn't here, Laura wouldn't be here. If Laura wasn't here, Kason wouldn't be here. Y'all see how things work together. Y'all know these things, but I think it's important to think about these things. God is sovereign over all the details of our lives, every person, every situation, every relationship. It was 116 years ago yesterday, you might have read about this, but the oldest person in the world, my grandfather passed away a number of years, but this one lady, she was born in 1899 and she's still living. Her name is Jerlene Talley from an area around Detroit, Michigan. But this was, you know, the secret. They always say, what's the secret for a long life? It says, her rule, her number one rule is to treat people how you want to be treated. Which segues to our message today because we're talking about relationships. Her number one rule, treat others how you want to be treated. We all realize the importance of having good relationships, of having good friends, of having people that you're close to, that you can confide in, that you can talk to. And the people that have good relationships are most often going to be more encouraged and strong in the Lord than those who don't. It's vital then, absolutely vital for us as Christians to be ones who have good relationships. And I believe that most of you here do, but I want to share a number of thoughts about relationships over the course of the next 3-4 weeks. I encourage you not to miss any because they're all important for our lives and the relationship that God wants us to have. Turn your Bible to Colossians chapter 4. Steve just read that great section of verses about the people in the church at Rome. These are the people in the church of Colossae and others that Paul was associated with. I want to read this. We read it a couple weeks back. I want to read it again. Colossians chapter 4, and verse 7, we begin. It says, as to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord, will bring you information. For I sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of your number. They will inform you about the whole situation here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, sends you his greetings, and also Barnabas' cousin Mark, about whom he received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And also Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are from the circumcision, and they have proved to be an encouragement to me. Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. For I testify for him that he has a deep concern for you and for those who are in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, sends you his greetings and also Demas. And greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and also Nympha and the church that is in her house. When this letter is read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans. And you, for your part, read my letter that is coming from Laodicea. I say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. And I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my imprisonment. Grace be with you. We often talk about the church as a family. We understand the importance of love and care and concern, and we see that here in these verses in Colossians 4, and also, of course, what we read in Romans chapter 16. And you think of even some of the words that were used here in Colossians 4, like the word beloved or beloved brother, beloved physician. Read about fellow workers or fellow prisoners. And they're sending greetings to one another. It's obvious then the love and affection that they had for one another. Very clear from this text. I've talked, as you know, in the past about the importance of relationships with purpose. Relationships with purpose. And so we're not just to have relationships with people we're just hanging out all the time. And we're not just to have purpose where we're just getting things done. We're to have relationships with purpose. But I will say this morning and the next few weeks, we're going to be focusing more, to a large degree then, on just our relationships with people. Turn in your Bible to 1 John chapter 4. Look at a few verses here. 1 John chapter 4. If you turn there, you know, it's the kind of thing where a couple weeks ago I was thinking, well, I could just work my way through that text in Colossians, but I really felt it was important to take some time to talk about relationships. So that's what we're doing. We're going to work our way through those verses in another week or two, but for now we want to look at a few verses that talk about the relationships and some key principles there. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, and we read verse 19 rather, says, "We love because He first loved us." Very simple. We love because He first loved us. That is, our relationship with God is what's most important, primarily important, as necessary then for our relationships with other people. See, God's love is that which encourages you, that which motivates you, and it can give you the desire and the energy then to love others. And if you're not really knowing and experiencing and believing the love that God has for you, then it will be difficult, if at times not impossible, to love other people. But when you know God's love, you'll want to love others, you'll be able to love others, and you will in fact love others. And so your relationships with people, where you're loving them, is really an overflow of your relationship with God and the love that He has for you. I think of a few people in the Bible that were classic in this. I think of Joseph in the Old Testament. If you've not read Genesis 45 lately, maybe some other time we'll go over it. It's a fantastic chapter. But Joseph, a man who loved God and loved people. Then you've got the example of David, and you see this in Samuel and also in the Psalms. He loved the Lord and he loved people. Then, of course, you have the example of Paul. He loved God and he loved people. Jesus, of course, is the best example. But we have these examples of people, and it's obvious from their life of their love for the Lord and their love for people. We also understand that the love God has for you is an example that you're to know and to follow. You see God's compassion for you, and His kindness. You see His patience for you, His forgiveness for you. And I know for myself, as I see that the Lord's been patient with me through all these years, it helps me to be patient with others. I think of forgiveness, that the Lord has forgiven me of every single sin I've ever done, thought, said, then surely I should forgive others. And this is important. In fact, you find somebody that's not very forgiving, I really believe it relates to the fact that they're not sensing the forgiveness they have from the Lord Himself. And so we see this. We read in Ephesians 5:1, "Be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for you." And so we're talking here and about an agape type love. We're talking about a supernatural love. We're talking about a Christ-like love. The type of love that you need to have and experience then if you're to love other people. That's one of the main points this morning. The true Christian then is one who knows God, and he knows God's love, and then he loves others. You're still in 1 John. Look at verses 7 and 8, same chapter, 1 John 4, 7 and 8. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love." I like the way John makes it so black and white, so clear. If you're not loving, you don't know God, and you know God's love. That's it. And it really is. It's so simply said here, so important for us to realize and understand. 1 John chapter 4, 21. "This commandment we have from Him, that the one who loves God should also love his brother." And so the truth is simple, that you're commanded to love one another. This is what your Heavenly Father wants you to do, and this is what He tells you to do, and He knows this is what's good for you, it's good for others, and of course it's for the glory of God. And so this after then, your love for God, that is loving others, should be the number one thing on your life. As you go day by day, you think about this. Am I loving people the way that God wants me to love them? Think about this. Pray about this. Ask God to help you. And so I think of this with my wife. I'm home here today, and am I loving her the way God wants me to love her? And so you think about this with your relationship, that God has put you there to love them. And sometimes just sort of sitting back and not thinking and our minds are someplace else, we're to be actively loving the people that God places in our life. In fact, I would say it to this way, that really, if you look at your life, you can go back and think of the last 20, 30, 40, 60, whatever years of your life. Define your life by the people who have loved you and the people that you've loved. That's a good way to think about life. In fact, I would suggest to you a very important. Think about your life and the people that you've loved and the people then that have loved you. And that will define most of your life. And it should be defined that way. We're talking here about the primacy of the love that God has for us and the primacy then of the love that we have for others. And hopefully then in a community of believers who are then loving us. Now this love then is that which should be, of course, starting in our hearts and proceeding to our words, but then also then, and I believe most importantly, seen in our actions. You all know that a person can deceive, can flatter with their lips. You understand this. That's why actions are so important, because actions more than anything prove your love for a person. 1 John 3:18, little children, let us not love with tongue, word or tongue, but in deed and truth. Christians then are known by their loving actions. That's how they're known, by their love for one another, or what they do for others. As one person said, it's good to be a Christian and know it, but it's better to be a Christian and show it. That's what the Lord desires for us. We continue on. A number of different principles. This third one, turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. In this list of the fruit of the Spirit, we see that love is first. That means it's very important. And I would suggest to you, most important then in your relationships with others. John chapter 15, Jesus talked extensively about this love. You go to 1 John 4, and the Apostle John talks extensively, as we've been reading here, about this love. You go to 1 Corinthians 13, and Paul talks about this as well. And so when you think about your relationship with people, you need to ask yourself, am I loving that person? And also, and really, maybe more importantly, am I loving that person in the way that I ought? I mean, the world will have all kinds of definitions and ideas and thoughts of how to love somebody. But what does God say in His Word? That's the pattern that we need to follow. And even as Steve mentioned this in the song, Colossians 3 gives a whole number of things there about how we then are to specifically love other people. Galatians back to 5, another point there. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. We see here that godly love is Holy Spirit produced. That is, you really can't love somebody in your own power or your own flesh. You just can't do it. It's got to be the Holy Spirit that enables you to love other people the way God wants you to love them. And I will say this to you, that God will remind you of this. Because there will be times in your life where you don't feel like loving somebody. Or you just don't want to love somebody. Whatever it is, or some other reason you don't want to. And you need to pray. Say, God, help me to. I'm tired. I want to. I just don't like that person. However you want to say it. And you need to say, Lord, help me to love that person the way I'm supposed to. Enable me. Empower me. It might be your spouse. It might be a friend. It might be a neighbor. It might be a church member. Somebody out in the street or somebody at a store. All kinds of people. But boy, this is important. This is important to be known then for the love that we have for people. John chapter 15, verse 13. These, I believe, are familiar to you all, or to most of you, but still I would suggest that we need to be thinking about these. Again, talking about how does the Bible tell us that we are to love people. John 15, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. There are many aspects of love, but one of them is that it's sacrificial. It costs. It may take your time. It may take your energy. It may take your money. It may take your life. That is, you give up your life for someone else. You sacrifice your life. You give up what you want. You give up what you like to do. You give up things for the sake of that other person. That is, godly love costs. Of course, the greatest example you know is Jesus Christ. He loved us. He gave up His life and He died for us. It cost Him. That's what happened. And you think about this, and I think a lot of you are aware of this. Whether you're married or single, you know, there's relationships, and it costs. You have to go out of your way. Or if you're raising children, you know the sacrifice and the cost. Or it might be a spouse you're taking care of, the other spouse who's not very well, physically speaking. And it takes energy, and it's time, and it's hard. True love will sacrifice. No doubt about that. 1 John 4 says, This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His own Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Again, the greatest example of this sacrificial love is the love that God has for us through His Son, Jesus. Go on to 2 Corinthians, number 6 here on my list. 2 Corinthians 5 says, walk by faith, not by sight. So we talk about love, we are talking about not going by our feelings, but by faith. By knowing what's right in the Word and then just doing it. Now, I'm not saying you won't have godly feelings for people, but oftentimes you will not have godly, loving feelings for people. I mean, I think of Jesus. Do you think He felt like loving His disciples all the time? They were not always doing what was right or saying what was right. And of course, the classic example, do you think Jesus felt like going to the cross and dying for you? If He would have went by His feelings, what would He have done? He said, forget this, and we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be saved. Lost in our sins forever, ever. Because He overcame His feelings by the strength, the love that God gave Him for us. That's what happened. And so we're to love people regardless of how we feel. And so many times we get worried by going how we feel. I just don't feel like it. I understand this is a place for emotions. Sometimes the future might talk about that more. But boy, when it comes to love, you've got to get past that. It's not by how you feel. If you wait sometimes to feel the right way about somebody before you love them, it may never, ever happen. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm going to wait till I feel like loving that person. Forget that. But let me say this. As you love people, oftentimes then what happens is God then will give you godly feelings and affections and even then increase your feelings for them. So by faith you do it. I've seen this many times with the relationships that God has given me. So we walk by faith and not by sight. Not by how we feel when it comes to loving people. Next, Romans 11:36. For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. Our godly relationships are from the Lord, and they're by the Lord, and they're for the Lord. This is important to remember. Godly relationships are from God, and they're by His grace and by His mercy. And the relationships that you have, and you need to see this, because sometimes we can be thankless people, see that the relationships you have that are good relationships are a gift from God to you. That's what they are. And so don't take them for granted. Be thankful. Thankful for what He gives to you, for your good and then for the other person's good as well. And our Christian relationships are from God, and that God is working in our lives through His Word and through His Spirit and through other people, that we then have these relationships and friendships. It's God the one who is doing this and working this way. You can never by your own effort have a good Christian friend. You just can't do it. It's important and imperative then for you then to be ones who are praying about relationships. Asking God then to give you what He wants. It is not smart just to walk into some relationship. You pray about things. You pray. Say, Lord, lead me to the people that You want me to be with, and vice versa. So important. When I think about my wife, and before I was married, I was known by some to be a little slow. It was November of 1985, and I got engaged in May of 86. So this is 6 months out, and in May, I think I've told you this, Marcia, but at that time, I was praying a lot about her, you know, and I really felt quite convinced at that time that, hey, I should move. But still, I'm sort of slow, and I say slow because I want to be absolutely 100% convinced. 100%. That's what we're talking. We went through January and February and March and April, and Vicki's smiling because she knows this whole process what went on. She's the one that first introduced me to Marcia in 1984 up there in D.C. But the point is, it took time, but I'll tell you, I was praying. And I remember the last time, and again, I'll just sort of patiently wait if I can say that, but one of the other pastors came up to me and says, maybe you should really think about making a move one way or the other with respect to Marcia. That is, tell her whether you're interested or not, but don't, just sort of go along with this. So anyway, so I got away with the Lord for one last week in Chincoteague Beach. This is 1986, and it went through 1 Corinthians 13. But the point is, I prayed, and it is a good thing. It is a healthy thing. It's a righteous thing to pray about your relationships. Lord, help me to be the person that you want me to be, and help them to be what you want them to be for me. That's important. This prayer is really important. We're talking here about what God gives us. Philippians 2, 12 and 13 says it this way: work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you to will and to work for His good pleasure. He works in our lives, but we respond then to His working with prayer and action. That's what I'm saying here. Well, this then relates to the final point. Your relationships in this little section here is not really mainly about you. Your relationships really then aren't so much about the other person. The focus of your relationship then should be not really on you or them, but on God Himself. That's what we're saying. When you think about your relationships, you want God then to be center of your relationships. Where you're talking about Him, you love Him, you discuss Him, you proclaim Him, His purpose, His character, His glory, His will, all these things. Our Christian relationships, son, are from God, and they're for God, and they're by God, and they're about God. That's what it is. I don't know if we think about this as much as we should. All the relationships that you have, God is thinking about them a lot more than you are. And how they can then be beneficial to you, and then vice versa. And as Christ said, it's the center of your relationships, and you will have truly encouraging and satisfying and God-glorifying relationships and friendship and fellowship. That's what will happen. And make this your goal. This is a very practical point. When you're talking about your relationships with people, is Christ the main part of that? If He's not, there'll be difficulties and struggles and aimlessness, and it just won't be what God wants. Next one is this, 1 Peter chapter 1. I want you to turn your Bibles to this. I'm not sure if I wrote this in your notes. Very interesting verse. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. We see there the importance of obedience in our relationships. We talked about obeying the Lord and loving Him. We see there the importance of purity and holiness in our relationships as well. But I want to focus on something else there. You see where it says for sincere love, and it should be, at least in most versions, the first love that appears. There's the sincere love, and then later you have the one, at least in my version, translated fervently love one another. Okay. Here's the point. The sincere love is from, the word love is from that Greek word philadelphia. You say that's brotherly love, okay? This next love, fervently love, is from that agape type love. Well, that's interesting. You got brotherly love and agape, God love, both in the same verse. What is going on here? Let me just share something. Here's the first point. We're to have a brotherly love for one another in that we recognize that we are all in the same spiritual family and we are all brothers and sisters one with another. That's important. This is no small point. Your love for others relates to the fact that you realize, man, we're in family. We're family. A spiritual family. You all understand what it means to have something in common. And I wouldn't doubt that a lot of you, you're close to physical family members because you have things in common. Same parents, same background, same kind of food, same kind of this or that, same kind of things. And you're drawn to people when you have things in common. Maybe the same home place, place you're born or state you're born. It might be the same sports team, or it might be the same fashions, or it might be the same hobby. You like the same kind of food, or maybe you're at the same workplace. You all understand commonality and how that then can draw you with other people. But here, what we're trying to talk about is the commonality that we as Christians have. I mean, we're chosen by God. We're saved by God. We're forgiven by Christ. I mean, we have the same Lord, the same Spirit, the same Father. I mean, we're children of God, saints of God. We're servants of God, soldiers of Christ, temples of the Spirit. and a lot more. They have a lot in common. So that's the point here. There's this brotherly love, and this first one here, this sincere love of the brethren, because of who we are, we're family. We're family, and that's what's being said here. And as you realize who you are in Christ, and how much then you have in common with other Christians, that then results in, I believe, this brotherly and spiritual love and affection that results in then this heartfelt, fervent, and godly love one another. And so you have a brotherly love that is leading to and resulting in this godly agape love. That is, there's this interconnection and relationship between the two. That's what I believe is being said in these verses. And you understand who you are, who the other ones are. You realize you have the Spirit of God on you, the ability He gives you to love others. So realize your spiritual identity. This is, again, no small thing. Think about who you are. We're so often just affected by appearances. You see other Christians for who they are. This then will result in, I believe, a sincere brotherly love, and then a heartfelt, fervent, godly love. Great text here, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Next one is Romans 12. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. That's the New American. Now I want to read some of the other versions because I think that will help to illustrate the point here better than the New American does. The Greek translation is this: in brotherly love to one another, loving warmly. ESV says, King James says, be kindly affectioned to one another with brotherly love. Be kindly affectioned to one another with brotherly love. ESV, love one another with brotherly affection. Do you hear those words? The affection type words, the loving warmly type words, you get what's being said? We just talked about this brotherly love and how it stems from the fact that you're spiritually related, that you have things in common, you're children of God, but there's more being said by this verse here. Now remember, I just talked about how we're loved by faith, right? Not by feelings. Is this contradicting that? I don't believe so. We definitely need love by faith, not by our feelings. But this verse tells us that there's something about our godly affections, not fleshly affections, godly affections for one another. You go to Philippians chapter 1, we see this so clearly, and there's many, many texts that I could use from Apostle Paul that show this. Go to Philippians chapter 1. In verses 6 through 8. It says, therefore, I'm confident in this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is the only right for me to feel this way about you. Talk about his feelings. Because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. There's some feeling there, isn't there? There's definitely some feeling and emotion, but it's godly feelings and godly emotions. The point is, as you have this brotherly love, as you have this godly love, as you have this spiritual and supernatural love, then usually what you have is you develop these godly feelings for people, this warmth, this affection, where you feel close to them, you feel like you're family, and you enjoy being with them. You get what I'm saying? This is important. God doesn't want us to have cold, dry, emotionless relationships, does He? As Christians? No. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want that. And so it says in the text, be devoted to one another, brotherly love. But that's a New American. And again, I like let's do the King James. Be kindly affectioned to one another with brotherly love. Might there be godly feelings and affections and emotions? And let me explain something. This is simple. I'm just trying to do a sandwich. You already know. When you first meet somebody or don't know them that well, then you might not have this warmth, this godly affection. But the more you know somebody, over a period of time, the closer you get, the more you talk, the affections grow. You see, you understand that's basic. In fact, those of you who are married, and in fact, if you lose a spouse, you really realize, man, we have these affections. I mean, the hard thing losing a spouse is, man, I can't love them and they can't love me. That's one of the biggest difficulties, you see. We're talking about godly affections and godly feelings, and they're right and they're true, and God's got to do it. So I want you to understand, yes, Love by faith, but yet God will, I believe, produce these feelings, these godly affections we read about in Philippians chapter 1. We continue on. Romans 15, 7, therefore accept one another just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. Now the word accept has this Greek root word in it called lambano. Okay, but this word accept in Romans 15 is pro-lambano. The prefix pro meaning strengthened form of lambano. The word lambano means to receive. We define pro-lambano as take to oneself. So we're talking here about Christians. And I know that I'm in some ways going over quickly because, hey, there's all kinds of Christians out there. But here's the general point. You're not to reject people, that is Christians, or be casual in your relationships with them. But you're to receive people. That's what it says here. To take one to themselves in that you welcome them. You take interest in them. You are friendly with them. That's the point here. So when you meet a Christian, then you welcome them. You're friendly. You initiate. You talk to them. Again, you're not to be casual or cold in your Christian relationship. There'd be this warmness, this friendliness, this affection, this taking initiative, this being interested, this talking together. That's what we're saying. That's part of what Romans 15 is about. Accept one another just as Christ also accepted us. So you see the word accept in our English language doesn't do justice. You take to oneself, you bring them into your life. Include them in what's going on. You're friendly, you love them, and are kind to them. Now, we back up to Romans 14, a little bit of the context. Romans 14 talks about people who are weak and who are different than us. That's one of the main themes of that whole chapter. And the point here is this, is that we can so easily categorize or classify or compare ourselves with others, making ourselves look better. I'm better because, man, we judge them. We look at their culture. We look at their skin color. The clothes that they wear, or the convictions, which was Romans 14. What kind of convictions they have? Well, they don't have the right kind of convictions. Man, this is the right conviction. And they can compare and classify and judge and therefore reject. A lot of the problems that we have in life, anger, strife, and even racism, results from this. We're rejecting people on reasons we should not reject them. We're not accepting them the way that God wants us to accept. And so we're to accept Christians in our hearts. And then love them in our speech and in our actions. And if they're different than us, so what? What we have in common as Christians far outweighs our differences, our human, our earthly, our fleshly type differences. The last point today. Ephesians chapter 4. In fact, turn there, Ephesians 4. Again, as I said before, there's so much to this in terms of our relationships. So much that's vital. And most all problems in this world relate because what? People aren't getting along. You all know this. People aren't getting along. And that's why I want to go through this in some detail and depth. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 to 18 says this, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. In these verses, it talks about how we're to be connected to each other. We read about ligaments and we understand the body. Your body parts are connected. And so too, in the church family, the body of Christ, we're to be connected. And of course, the main link in all this connection stuff is Christ Himself. We know that. That's the main thing. But there's something here about communication. Speak the truth in love. I mean, if you have somebody get married, a new couple gets married and they're Christians, but they never talk, ever, ever, what's going to happen? It's not going to work. You can be Christians, you've got to talk. You've got to communicate. And so there's three main points here that I want to just draw out of this one verse, this first phrase. First, we're to be talking. We're to be communicating. We're to be speaking to one another. That's the first thing. Some people are silent, too silent. In fact, it's different. You go both sides here, but if you talk about unbelievers, some unbelievers get along because they've learned to stop talking. Because they discover that when they talk, they have problems and arguments. You know what I'm saying by that? Well, let's just forget talking, so they got their own little space and they stay apart. And they survive as a married couple. That's one thing. The other side, again, we're talking about non-Christian couples. They've learned to communicate, and they communicate quite well. It's just they're not communicating about things that are really important. I mean, you see this. People walking the beach, going here and there, and they're non-Christians, they're friendly. And partly because they've learned to talk. They've learned to relate, to share what's on their mind or thought. They interact, and that helps. That's important. But we're talking here about not just speaking, but speaking the truth. Again, as Christians, we can talk about the weather and sports. That's fine. We can talk about fashion. That's fine. But that should not be the focus. That should not be the main thing. And that leads us to number two. We're to be speaking the truth. We're to speak the truth. Three sub-points here. Number one, we're to share, we're to speak forth the truth. That is the Word of God. That should be central to the relationship of any two Christians. The Word of God, the truth of God. The second point is this, is we're to talk about that which is true, right, good, and holy. Philippians 4:8 conveys this when it says this. It says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, then dwell in these things. That is, in a relationship, you talk about those things that are good and right and true. I mean, you see a beautiful sunset. Wow, that's fine. Talk about it. Last night, I think it was last night, is that they're sitting there at the table, even I have on our chicken supper and our salad, and look out there, we got these bird feeders, and there is a marsh. Look, there's a red-headed woodpecker. I mean, it's good and true. It's not the main thing in life, but yeah, that was neat to see, and I made that point. You know, or this point, I didn't tell you this yet, Gino, but I was at Gino's place on Thursday afternoon working on different things and going to see Devon. Gino lives down, I would say, down by Sheldon and Hillsborough, and that's like the southwest section of Tampa. And I had to go see Giovanni at 5:45 up off Bears and Brucey. Now I had to cut clear across the city. So I took off from Gino's and I got lost. I had just made a wrong move. And this is out of the corner by Sheldon and Hillsborough. And I was buried in those back streets. But I know enough about directions. Okay, keep the sun to your left and your back because you want to keep going north and you want to keep going east. And I went over so many speed bumps. Man, but I kept, okay, the sun at your left and the sun at your back. Keep going, weaving and winding and weaving. And finally, and this is again a story about the Lord's goodness, is there was Waters and Sheldon. This is wow! Or Waters and no, Sheldon and Waters. Yeah, this is phenomenal. You know, the geography. I couldn't believe it. God led me. The point is this, that's a good thing to talk about, not the main thing, but you talk about good things and the works of God and the kindness of God. Or we can talk about the wedding that's coming up. That's a good thing, right? That's a good thing. That's the truth. So I'm just trying to say you talk about the Word of God. You talk about what's true and right. And the final point here is this, the sub-point. We're to tell the truth, that is, we're to be honest. Not lie about things in life. Not exaggerate about things in life. Whether it's trivial or whether it's important. Don't lie. We're to be men and women of integrity, being truthful. That's the point. The final point. We're to speak the truth in love. You can share the truth. You can talk all about what's good and right and holy, but not in a loving way. As you've heard this before, hey, it's not, you know, it's what you say, it's how you're saying it. And sometimes with Marcia, this happened. And says, what did I say wrong? It wasn't that I said anything wrong, it's how I said it. I didn't say it in a loving way. So we're talking about what you say and how you say it, and the how is the love part here. And that's pretty basic stuff, but it's the grace of God. It sure doesn't happen automatically. I mean, I was raised, and I had a great mother, but it's affected me. And I'm saying the wrong way, it's just backgrounds, okay? We all have backgrounds. But she was not very emotional. Never hugged us, never kissed us when we were kids. And that's fine, I accept it. But that affected me. You know, she never talked on a deep level, relationally, emotionally. It just didn't happen. You can blame her germanness for it or whatever, but that's not the point. God's helped me, and of course, getting married to Marcia helped even more. The point is that we learn to communicate, and we learn to communicate in a loving way. And it takes the grace of God. So you have patient communication. We're not quickly interrupting somebody. Kind communication. Gentle communication. Compassionate communication. forgiving communication. All these are important. And this is all the grace of God working in you. Again, you can know what to say. This how you say it. That is so, so important. And so this is good. We're talking about it. And we got a lot more. I really will say this. Don't miss the next few weeks. Because we have a lot more to say in this. A lot more. We go back to the one verse. 1 John 4:19. We love because He first loved us. That's the main point. To forget everything. Okay, Lord. If I'm going to love others, I need to know Your love for me. Number one, don't forget that. The final thing, turn to Romans chapter 15, verse 14. Romans 15, verse 14, just one point of instruction, talking about you and your relationships. Here it says, "Not concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another." And I believe this about you. You guys have most been around for a while, some maybe not so long, but you've learned through the years, from me and from others and from the Lord and reading the Word, hey, what to do. So in some ways, there's a maturity about you. You know what to do. What I'm saying to you, and it's a bit of instruction, is this. There's all kinds of problems that people have relationally. And God wants to use you to be an example, number one. Number two, to pray for them. And at times then, you might even be involved in helping people to know how to relate with one another better. That's what I'm saying. And I will guarantee you that I'm going to cover probably 95, maybe 99% of all the issues any couple could ever have in the next 3 or 4 weeks. But you've got to apply them. Okay? That's what I'm saying. For your own life and for others. And this is what God wants. We're a family. He wants us to work together, to love each other, and then to take what we learn, then to help others as well. Okay? We love because He first loved us. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this time that You've given us. We've just taken a few minutes here. And Lord, we have to come back to You. We're but men and women of the flesh, ones who are sinful, but Lord, we thank You that You, by Your grace, Lord Jesus, You by Your great love and mercy and sacrifice for us, and came down and took all our sins and took them upon Yourself and paid the penalty that we should have paid. God, You were satisfied then with Your Son's work for us. All of us then who repent of our sins and put our trust in You, Lord Jesus, we're forgiven forever. Finally. Wonderfully so. If there's any here, Lord, that do not understand this, do not know this, I pray that You speak to their hearts. Lord, this is the main thing in life. It's our relationship with You. This is it. If anybody here does not know You, God, show them their need for You. Show them, God, Your great love and mercy and kindness and wanting to save them from their sins and move in their heart to give them repentance and faith than to put their trust in You and only in You. And for all of us, Lord, I would just pray this. You'd help us to continue to grow in our relationship with You. We all know, and Steve mentioned this in the song before, we can be filled up or try to be satisfied by so many things in the world. And the world is all around us, and there's the temptations in the flesh, and it's sometimes a struggle. Lord, help us to, by Your grace, fight off those things and want You alone. As it says in Psalm 63, O God, Thou art my God. Earnestly I seek Thee. My soul thirsts for Thee. My soul yearns for Thee in a dry and weary land. It goes on to say, Thus I have beheld Thee in the sanctuary to see Thy love. Help us, Lord, to be ones who see You, know You, Lord, and are satisfied by You. But I thank You, Lord, for this church. And I pray You help us, God, to grow in our relationship with You. And help us then to grow in our relationships with one another. The things we even learned today, the few things, God, help us then to apply those. And I know what You're like, Father. You will test each one of us to see how we did, what we learned. But that's a good thing, because tests are for our learning. And help us, Lord, then to realize that we love by Your grace and by Your Holy Spirit. And if we're not loving, it might be because we're just not trusting You. We're not asking You for the grace and for You, Holy Spirit, to fill us up. So I pray You do this more and more. Make us, Lord, once as individually loving people, as loving families, and as a loving church. Do this, we pray. We already are there to some degree, but God, we can grow all the more in this that we ask. So thank you now again for this time. We pray this in Jesus' name.